AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local. The KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team, up next.
At Bunge, their strength is in their partnerships between farmers and the global marketplace. So when it comes to navigating the soybean market, just know that they'll stand by you long after the harvest is done. Bunge, built on two centuries of farmer support. Visit them online at bunge.com. Connecting farmers to the world since 1818.
KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team here today. Drizzle and light rain possible through the mid-afternoon period. Otherwise, a high of 53 and a lot of cloud cover again today. Cloud cover persists tonight, but it looks like it'll be dry with a low of 42. Tomorrow, slight chance of rain in the afternoon. Better chance after sunset. Partly sunny Thursday and 69. Rain likely, showers and thunderstorms also with a high of 73 on Friday. Saturday, sunny and 57. That's your forecast on KVOE, live and local.
Join Ron Thomas and Chuck Samples Monday through Friday at 7:15 for the Newsmaker segment. A different guest and topic daily on KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local. KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. Live and local presents the On Air Chat. And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harder and Ron Thomas.
And welcome once again to the on-air chat. Ron Thomas hosting today. Aaron Harder has city commission duties, and that's where he is at. But we're pleased to be bringing you another program here as the on-air chat airs Wednesdays at 11:05. And once a month, we're pleased to be joined by representatives of Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness, and that indeed is the case today. We're joined by Verlin Conkle. Verlin is Compliance and Risk Manager for Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness, and Lauren Rickner, Director of Quality and Innovation. We were supposed to have Lucas Moody here today, but Lucas a bit under the weather. Lucas, get well. Hope to see you possibly in here next month. I know Lucas covers a lot of stuff for Crosswinds, but two of the people that do a lot of stuff there too, Verlin and Lauren, are with us here to talk about Crosswinds and how they listen, change, and improve quality daily. Our on-air chat is brought to you weekly by Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction 342-5001. On we go with the program. Verlin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, thanks. And yourself?
Yeah, doing good. Good to see you again.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But we'll get in with Verlin here in just a minute. And Lauren Rickner. Lauren, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, Lauren is the Director of Quality and Innovation at Crosswinds. Let's talk about that first, Lauren. Tell us exactly what the Director of Quality and Innovation is responsible for.
I wish I could tell you exactly, but I'll do my best.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, so I oversee a few of our different departments, but I view my job as ensuring that we're providing the best services possible to everyone that we serve and that our staff have a good environment to do that in.
Okay, so it's kind of a broad net right there, isn't it?
It's a pretty broad net. I feel like sometimes I got my hand in a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it does. Verlin, you're the Compliance and Risk Manager. Tell us exactly what your duties are.
Well, again, it's kind of, you know, a day-by-day kind of thing, right? So I oversee incident reports. I oversee compliance, making sure we're meeting federal and state guidelines. I work a lot with the data and making sure that we're able to track kind of new trends and what's going on internally in our system. Any complaints or concerns the community or anyone has with our services, I handle those as well.
So are the compliance angle of this pretty extensive?
You know, we've seen a lot of changes over the last years. Becoming a CCBHC versus a community mental health center, a CCBHC being a certified community behavioral health center, has brought a lot of changes and kind of a tightening of structure, a lot more audits, and ultimately removing barriers so that we can provide more services to the community. So in doing that, a lot of educational opportunities for our staff and for the community as well.
I would suspect you had to do a lot of educating, too, for yourself to make sure that you're able to pass this along to all the employees.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's getting that framework of what are the new expectations, how does that work in our community specifically, and then how do we train our staff to make sure that we're meeting them?
Well, when we talk about Crosswinds staff, there's a lot of staff. Do you have any idea how many employees Crosswinds has now?
We normally float around about 300 employees.
Yeah, that's a lot of folks.
It is.
And how many counties now do you cover?
So we have a service area of 7 counties.
7 counties.
Yeah.
And you have, I think you have buildings in virtually all of them, don't you, now?
We have buildings in every one of our counties, and in some of our counties we have more than one building.
Yeah, and you have a fleet of automobiles. We know that.
Yes.
We see them all over the place, too.
Yes. It's important for us to be able to make sure people can get to where they need to be for our services and that we can get to them.
Well, Verlin mentioned CCBHC, and that is a Certified Community Behavioral Health Clinic. Lauren, how long have you been CCBHC?
So we became provisionally certified in 2023, and then we received full certification in 2024. But we've been preparing for this for many years before that.
So what did the preparation entail? Did you know for sure it was going to happen, or was it you just wanted it to happen?
Well, our state was requiring that it happen,
okay.
Which is actually really great. It sounds like it was one more thing to do, but our state is the first of any in the nation to provide legislature that says we are going to make sure that our clinics are providing at this standard of care. And so we feel actually really supported by that legislature going into place. We go to many conferences where that state support is not there, which would make it pretty challenging, I imagine, for those centers in those areas trying to provide the services.
So what did the transition exactly entail then?
Yeah.
What did you have to do?
Yeah, so CCBHC brings its own set of requirements. Verlin mentioned that we have state statutes and regulations. CCBHC is governed by SAMHSA, the National Organization Over Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. And so it was about bringing all of our services and staffing and training into compliance with those standards. So beefing up some of our services, bringing on new services, a lot of training for staff and education in that realm. And then working closely, like I said, with the state to go through each of those measures and make sure that we were kind of checking all those boxes and engaging in those best practices.
Well, when you're dealing with state requirements, a little bit of pressure on you.
A little bit.
To make sure that everything gets done. And there is some oversight there, I would assume, correct?
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of conversations with our partners at KDADS. It was really great, though, because like I said, as a state in general, we wanted to see the success of all of our centers across the state. And so KDADS was very beneficial to all the centers in really partnering with us to move that process along and
so
support
Laura,
us in getting there.
Yeah, are you happy with the state support?
I am. You know, I think we all have the same goal. Everybody wants our services to be the best that they can be, whether that's internally at our centers or in the state. With any partnership, there's back and forth on here's something we need from you, here's what they need from us. And so just their willingness to have those conversations and hear us is the best we can always ask for as well.
Well, you've got, some state oversight now. Funding has obviously been a huge issue, with mental health and Crosswinds is no different. You're always in the fundraising mode because you have to be.
Absolutely.
But have you seen any more support now from the state?
So, again, like I mentioned, the fact that it was written into legislature that we would move to the CCBHC model, along with that model comes a different payment system.
Okay.
And that is absolutely instrumental in the success of this service delivery model. Without that funding in place, we simply cannot provide services to the standard in which it requires. And so our state guaranteeing that support for us was critical.
So what improvements have you seen since you've been CCBHC?
All the things.
Everything?
Yeah. Well, like I said, with the funding, it just allowed us, I would say, to be able to do the things that we've always wanted to do and strive to do without the financial support behind it. And so that's, again, just increasing access to services. Whether that's through increased staffing, through increased physical space. I mentioned we have multiple buildings in some of our areas, and that's because our areas are really vast. And so we want to really make sure we're reducing any kind of barrier to clients accessing our services, which oftentimes is how do they get to us or how can we get to them in a timely manner. So a lot of those things have improved. Like Verlin mentioned, our quality team is a huge part of making sure we're doing the things that we need to do. That team has grown from one person to four of us in just this last year. And I think with that, we have been able to see very rapid changes in some of those trends that we were identifying. And we're able to see those trends because of our data collection capabilities now. We've had to implement a new EHR, which is electronic health record, where we keep all the charts, right? Used to be on paper. We're a long way from that now, thank goodness. But that has given us the opportunity to collect really good data to make data-informed decisions.
You mentioned you have approximately 300 working at Crosswinds. So when you made the shift to CCBHC, did that mean you needed more people
to
come work at Crosswinds? And how difficult was it to recruit? I mean, you know, you talk about businesses now. Recruiting is sometimes a problem, you know, getting people.
Sure. I would say that early on, that has always been a challenge, right? We're like, where's the workforce going to come from? And that's a nationwide challenge in the mental health field. And I wouldn't say that that challenge has gone away, but I would say that, again, with the ability to have adequate funding for what we need to do comes the ability to pay our staff at a reasonable wage to do the really difficult work that they're doing. And so that makes a big difference. I couldn't tell you numbers off the top of my head. Lucas is our data person on those types of things sometimes. But I do know that we have definitely seen a reduction in our turnover rate, which again, I think is kind of twofold. One, we can pay them better, but I think we're creating a better environment in a place that people want to work.
Well, it can be a challenge too, and often is. When you grow fast, and sometimes you can grow too fast, and it's tough to keep up, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. And we see some of those difficulties, and we've had moments where we were like, "Oh, hold on, like push the pause button for a second." Our growth has been rapid here, and what do we need to do to adjust? We have that growth mindset of like we're always trying to learn, grow, do better. So taking that feedback from our staff and saying, hey, hold on, we're trying to get from A to B, but we've skipped some steps here. And so just trying to slow that down a little bit, make sure we're thinking through things as much as we can. And we adopt the KLC model as well, where it's like we're experimenting with some things. And we know that in experiments, sometimes it goes really well, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you have pieces that work, sometimes they don't. And so just really working as a team to look at all those different pieces and make sure we're getting staff to the place they need to be.
Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness, they are our guests. They're with us monthly here on the On Air Chat. We're with Lauren Rickner, Director of Quality and Innovation, and Verlin Conkle, Compliance and Risk Manager here on the On Air Chat. Stay tuned. We're back with more right after this.
Construction jobs don't go away when the weather gets colder. Bruce Davis Construction is available all winter long. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot, to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendo, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Good morning. Chuck Samples, KVUA News with local news headlines today. Brought to you by John Muckenthaler of RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. Call 620-794-3134 for all of your real estate needs. Kansas Workforce One, Emporia's Rapid Response Task Force, moving quickly to connect people with resources after two significant business closure announcements within the last couple of weeks. And in fact, there are now two special events, March 12th at Flint Hills Technical College, one at 2:30, one at 3:45, to help those workers specifically with Hopkins and ABZ Valve, but also other businesses area-wide. Emporia's Country Mart changing names later this month, but it is a familiar name to the community. Country Mart officially becoming the city's second goods cash saver, starting up with the close of business on March 15th. We'll have details on these stories and more coming up at 12:05 this afternoon. Our headlines today are brought to you by John Muckenthaler of REMAXEC Real Estate, 620-794-3134. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
We want you to feel good. Tune in for Feel Good Friday.
Making you feel good.
Friday after the local news during the 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. hours on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
KVOE Live and Local, welcome back to the on-air chat. Ron Thomas hosting today, Aaron Harder with City Commission duties, Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness here for their monthly visit. We always learn a lot of stuff about Crosswinds because their tree carries many branches, and we're learning more today with Lauren Rickner, Director of Quality and Innovation, and Vernon Conkle, Compliance and Risk Manager for Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness. And we've been specifically talking today about Certified Community Behavioral Health Clinic, which they transitioned to in 2023, and what that has meant for the organization and all the positive things that have come out of that. And we want to continue that conversation. And let's switch to veteran services. You know, we're the founding city of Veterans Day. A lot of local veterans here, and number one, do they use your services? I understand, Verlin, you now have a veteran services coordinator.
We do. That's one of the things that came out of CCBHC, right? Is the expectation of us to meet services for veterans. And what we found is Kansas, like you know, so many places across the state, we're a long way from the VA hospital, and sometimes, you know, their treatment needs are more specific and more emergent than what they can get in at that place. So in doing so, that was a requirement that we increased our outreach and our coordination with veteran services, both local community members, local service organizations. And for us, that meant actually hiring someone who had lived experience and could actually help facilitate that process.
So who is your coordinator?
Tara DeWert is okay. Our Veteran Services Coordinator, yes. So. And so like we mentioned, Tara is former military. We have several staff, actually, who are former military and interested in providing services to this population from a level of understanding with that population as well.
So have you seen that being impactful? You know,
absolutely.
Obviously it's still early stages.
But. It is. Yeah, Tara has completed some of her educational journey over this last couple of years and really stepped into this role here more recently. We also are partnering with local agencies within and organizations within our service area who are providing services in different ways to veterans so that we can be good partners in those resources as well.
So have you, I know you maybe not be able to specifically answer this, but have you been in touch with, you know, the American Legion and local veterans organizations to let them know that you now serve veterans here?
Yeah, I believe so. So we're making those connections so that obviously those would be good referral sources for us, right? We have an MOU in place, as do all of the centers within the state. We have an MOU in place with the VA, and they have a community services network, which allow, like Verlin said, those individuals to seek services local to them outside of a certain range. There's lots of rules, again.
Yeah, sure.
As there are, but that help people just to get those services closer to where they live as we work to partner with the VA in what they're providing as well.
So when you partner with the VA, can veterans use their VA benefits then through you?
Again, lots of rules with that, but
and
lots of different circumstances. But yes, we accept TRICARE insurance.
Okay.
If there's some boundary things with the VA. We try and work with them to say, here's why they could benefit from a provider in their city that they live in. And that's part of that community services network that extends that providership out to us to allow that to provide them to locally.
That's very important. So
it is.
That's a great service to be able to offer. The veterans certainly deserve the care, and it's great that they have another opportunity to get that here locally.
Absolutely.
In the area.
Yes.
To serve a lot of veterans. We certainly appreciate their service to our country and our communities. Well, Verlin, let's talk about data. There's a lot of that, that you know that, right? And how deep does this conversation go, or how deep can we get here?
You know, I mean, it varies on a day, right? So we, like Lauren said, we just started our new EHR, our medical records, about a year ago. What that allowed us to do was to start tracking things that we hadn't really had the opportunity to before. I mean, just a plethora of things from time of service, which is a CCBHC requirement. You know, how quickly are we serving folks from the first time they call? That's something we now track. How many folks we see on a day? What kind of trends are we seeing? One of the things that we're excited about, well, I guess I shouldn't say excited, but one of the numbers that we've seen are folks that call us after their first suicide attempt. Right. And so now we're tracking of the folks that was not a client of ours who had this attempt. How many of those were we able to establish services with and get them the help they needed afterwards? So every day there's a new thing of, oh, we need to track that. And that'd be a great number to know and see how we're better impacting the needs of our community.
Are those folks normally referred to you then if you hadn't been seeing them?
I mean, we do an assessment. Usually yeah. We see them through an assessment opportunity, right? So they may come into crisis services, may come into the ER, those type
okay.
of things.
Yeah.
During that time, we do a full assessment and triage them. Do they need to actually be inpatient at that time, or can we set up an appointment to see them outpatient?
So you mentioned a lot of this data, customer satisfaction, customer service.
Customer satisfaction,
that
yep. That's a whole nother situation we took on, right? But one of the things we wanted to make sure, again, CCBHC starts off with the needs assessment of the community. What are your individual needs? And one of the best ways to gauge that is to simply ask our customers, you know, where are we doing great? Where are we struggling? What services could we provide that we're not providing? What would you like to see? And so our department took that on this year specifically as an additional project, and we were able to expand our question base. We make sure we have it available in Spanish as well. We were able to increase participation throughout our 7-county area, which we were excited to get. And we look forward to how we can improve that next year as well.
Do you get pretty good response on your surveys from clients? I mean, that's often tough to get information from them. They don't fill out a survey. I mean,
right. So one of the things we looked at was the modalities in which we engage our clients. Is it still a paper survey? Is it digital? Is it easy to access? Is it too long? You know, I don't know about you, but I check out after
yeah,
a few questions myself, right? So how can we address the significant issues in a timely manner that will ensure folks will complete it? We did a lot of different things. We're actually going to be adding that to, I believe, our website as well. Again, we have a push locally reminding folks, hey, it's survey time. One of the things we did was expand the window that we did our survey this year to ensure that we could get as many people possible. You know, some of our folks only come in once every 6 months, yeah. once every 3 months, and really trying to target that variety across all the area.
So when you form your surveys, did your team get together, come up and get the questions set to go? How many questions? Is that how that works?
Well, you know, it does. I mean, we take a look at what we've asked before. We take a look at, again, what of our recommendations? What are the services we have to provide? How are we addressing that? We go back to the needs assessment, the community needs assessment that we participate in with Newman's and with CareArc, right, to get that whole picture of how our whole area is doing health-wise. We take a look at the feedback from that, and then we say, are we doing this? Do you feel we're meeting this? This was identified as a top priority. How do you feel we do in achieving that?
So then how do you share this information once you gather it and formulate it? What happens then, Berlin?
So once it comes in, we actually present this to the board. So our governing board is aware of it, as well as we have the general results available for the public as well.
And how can the public access that?
That's a Lucas question.
On your website,
I believe we're going to work to post on our website, and they're always available upon request. Yeah,
go to the website. That's
the general answer to things, right?
Yeah. Let's talk about Crosswinds, Lauren, and after-hours availability and how that works with Crosswinds.
Yeah, so yet again, another CCBHC requirement is expanding access to services through after-hours care. And so looking at how we can get services outside of that standard 8 to 5, obviously that's not a great schedule for everybody, and we need to meet everybody's needs. So looking at how we get services into our evenings, you know, we have for a long time had community-based services available, which means our case managers, attendant care staff, groups run into the evening. So those have long since been a focus for us and been implemented in that way. So just continuing to grow and expand options for that. We are pushing into the weekends. So we have several groups that are running on Saturdays. We have some clinicians that are working outside of that Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, to ensure that some of those earlier or later appointments are available. And we also have one, again, who's offering services over the weekend.
What about, I know in talking with Amanda Cunningham, many occasions here that the importance of teleservices that really came into play during COVID, but it's something that you kind of rely on now, right?
Yeah, it's like we didn't know what it could do for us until we were forced to use it, right? So we had implemented telehealth services prior to COVID, which actually I feel really well prepared us to make that transition when everybody was forced to shut down and move remote. And then we were very protective of that as we came back into services, because I think the statistics showed it very much increased access to services for a large portion of the population who is just not comfortable coming to an office can't step away from work for 2 or 3 hours to get to an appointment, but they can hop on during their lunch hour to chat with their therapist in a telehealth session. So I think there's just a lot of ways in which telehealth has really improved access to care.
And you do have 24-hour availability, right?
So we provide mobile crisis services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Yet again, a CCBHC criteria. And something that's been quite a challenge, but I'm very proud of our team for the work that they have put in to develop models that are going to be sustainable for staffing such a challenging schedule.
That's one thing. Go ahead, Berlin.
Well, I was just going to expand on that a little bit. Mobile crisis is literally that. We will go out wherever the crisis is. So if the person's at home, if they're at their job, if they're at work or at school, our crisis team goes to them. So we're not expecting you to come to the ER or, you know, drive to our Sauter location. It's that mobile availability that we will bring the help to you.
Across our entire service area.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing that's been consistent, you know, with Crosswinds, and we've talked to many Crosswinds employees through the months here, having you here on a monthly basis, but it's just been the passion of people that that work for Crosswinds that certainly enjoy and love what they do, and it shows.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we work very challenging jobs, but very rewarding jobs. And so I think that you have to have a strong passion for helping people and doing good things, and so we have that. We have an amazing staff.
Well, and you have certainly seen space growth.
We definitely have.
Here,
it's probably good Lucas isn't here to talk about it. I feel like it stresses him out. Yeah, it's a great problem to have, I guess I would say. We have grown, like we said, in our staff, but that the staff growth is because we have more people that need us. And when more people need you, they got to have somewhere to go. So yeah, we have exponentially grown in our physical spaces. Lucas probably feels like it's a daily thing where we're looking for new space or ways to renovate a space to accommodate the growth that we are having. So great problem to have. We're okay with it.
You got a great building on Merchant Street and the Souder.
Mm-hmm.
Location too is very nice. And
yeah.
So is that all working out well?
I would say yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Lucas and the development team and our and Amanda have done amazing things in making sure those buildings were acquired and renovated to our purposes. Like I said, to be able to accommodate the many, many staff and programs that we have. And it extends out into our other counties as well. You know, we're doing things out in Coffee and Osage County. We have three buildings in Wabunsee County. We moved into Chase last year.
Yeah.
I mean, just all kinds of things. We moved into a new building in Morris County. So it's hard to keep up with all the things.
Yeah.
So, really good things happening.
You mentioned staffing earlier, too. And that's one of the things as well with telehealth allowed us to let our workforce work remote, which has helped out with some of the building
the
challenges because we didn't have the space. So now, you know, those that qualify for that get the flexibility of being able to work from home or come into the office, whichever. And that also allows us to better serve our population because we have a bigger workforce that's available to see them.
Well, and a lot of people, you mentioned not only space in your locations, but a lot of people would prefer to have that, you know,
absolutely,
depending on how far they live away from Emporia or any other places in the Seven County area, kids, things like that. So it would probably help, I would assume, in recruiting.
It does. Yeah. It does. It gives that perk. And, you know, we mentioned COVID. A lot of things shifted, and the workforce did as well. And so, but it provides us that opportunity that we're not just looking for who lives in Lyon County that can work for us.
You know, I think I asked this to everybody that comes in here from Crosswinds, but have you seen progress in breaking the mental health help stigma that has been out there forever, it seems like? Are we making any progress there, Lauren?
I think so. And I do think that in our state specifically, CCBHC has been a big part of that because of how much conversation has been around the mental health field. And it's getting legislatures involved. It's getting a lot more conversation going around mental health and the importance of mental health. And then, like I said, we do all kinds of things within our agency to try and reduce that stigma as well. I know that some people question why our cars are marked. It's because we don't want there to be shame associated with working with us. We want people to know that we're here and we're available and that they can reach out to us at any time and we're going to be there to help.
Lauren Richner, Verlin Conkle, Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness with us on the On Air Chat. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this.
For quality concrete and reliable delivery, trust Eagle Creek Ready Mix in Emporia. With over 30 years of experience and their own rock quarry, they control quality from the ground up. From driveways and patios to commercial and agricultural jobs, they've got the mix you need when you need it. Call 620-208-8080 or visit EagleCreekReadyMix.com. Eagle Creek Ready Mix, built on rock solid service and quality from the ground up.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. 5 days into the Middle East conflict, the Pentagon says it's working to cripple Iran's military capabilities. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says the U.S. sank an Iranian warship and more resources are on the way to the region.
More and larger waves are coming. We are just getting started.
Six American service members killed in Kuwait at the start of the war by Iranian drone has now been identified. ABC's Ian Pannell is in Tel Aviv with more.
The Pentagon identifying four of them as 35-year-old Captain Cody A. Cork, 42-year-old Sergeant First Class Noah L. Tijens, 39-year-old Sergeant First Class Nicole M. Amore, and Sergeant Declan J. Cody, just 20 years old. His family saying in a statement, he was just a baby, adding, he was so kind and so amazing.
The State Department also working to finalize evacuation plans in the region with thousands of Americans stranded. This is ABC News.
Proud to be a part of Emporia, the founding city of Veterans Day.
To all veterans of the United States of America.
14 KVOE, 96.9 FM.
America thanks you for your service.
Live and local.
We'll be right back. KVOE AM 1400, 96.9 FM, live and local. This is the on-air chat brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness, our guest today, Berlin Conkle, Compliance and Risk Manager, and also Lauren Rickner, the Director of Quality and Innovation for Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness. Well, let's get back to feedback and information that you get. Verlin, this is kind of in your wheelhouse here, and that is information that you collect, and people that have problems or are concerns, they can contact you, and you field this in this kind of information, right?
Absolutely. That's what I do on a daily basis. You know, we're definitely striving to improve, and we can't do that if we don't have the feedback. Right, we can't fix a problem if we don't know about it. And so a lot of what I spend my time doing is fielding those calls, again, educating, and then providing those concerns with our management team, right, and letting them know this is the concerns, what can we do? We take a look at the regs, we take a look at rules, how can we work better to improve the services to the community?
So you don't want people to hold it in. You want them to let you know if there's a problem.
Nah, my shoulders are broad. I can handle it.
Not a problem. Okay. What about the Crosswind? We mentioned it briefly, Crosswind's website. Anybody want to tackle this?
Yeah. You can get a ton of information off of our website. You can ask for services to start on our website. So there's a form they can fill out that goes directly to our customer service team, who will then reach out and help them initiate services. So if you're not quite to the point where you want to make the phone call, but you're ready to go, that's another way to do that. We have a great accessibility tool on our website that will, it's called Recite Me, or I'm Yeah, recite me, I think, and it will, you're like, I don't know. it will translate our entire website to, I think there's like hundreds of languages available.
Oh, okay.
It adjusts for differing abilities. If you have ADHD, it'll, drop it down and provide kind of line-by-line access. So really great tool that's available on our website to help everybody kind of navigate those different things. So much information on our website. And then certainly I would encourage people to follow us on social media. Yeah. Our development team does an amazing job of keeping that updated with different events we might be participating in. A lot of great just educational information provided there. And then they monitor, in the heart of feedback, they monitor comments and things that are being provided there, and oftentimes try and reach out to those individuals, see what's happening and what we can do, like I said, to improve and make things better.
Yeah, I would assume that your social media and IT teams stay very busy.
They do. They do, for sure. Yeah.
You got a lot of people to connect, and because obviously, Verlin, communication is vital.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's education and communication all the time.
Indeed. Well, it's good to talk to you today. Learned a lot of great stuff, specifically about Certified Community Behavioral Health Clinic.
Yes.
So CCBHC. Congratulations on getting that taken care of.
Thank you.
Sounds like things are going well. We appreciate all that you do, and it was good to have you here today. So thanks, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Verlin. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, Verlin Conkle, Compliance and Risk Manager, and Lauren Rickner, Director of Quality and Innovation with Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness, with us on the on-air chat today. Brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction, commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. It's 11:42. Good morning.
Got questions about your plants, lawn, garden, trees, or shrubs? Get answers from the expert. Tune in to In the Garden with Lyon County Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael Thursdays at 11:05 on KVOE. Travis shares practical advice you can use right away. In the Garden, brought to you by Fowler's Garden Center, Emporia Farmers Market, Caldwell Banker Emporia Real Estate, and Grove Gardens in Council Grove. In the Garden, Thursdays at 11:05 on KVOE, live and local.
Emily Ludoff was selected as the February Student of the Month. Emily is a sophomore in the nursing school at Emporia State University. She's a Jones Premier Scholar and nursing recipient. Emily's also a member of the ESU Marching Hornets and the ESU Women's Track and Field Team. Congratulations to Emily Ludoff, the February Student of the Month. Brought to you by Box Drop Mattress, Carrie's Diamonds and Bridal, Middle Ground Books, Newman Regional Health, Planet Sub, Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Emporia State University, and Flint Hills Technical College.
KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local. The KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team, up next. Looking for a career, not just a classroom? At Flint Hills Technical College, they